Welcome to the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. Vintage Church is a multi-church, multi-city movement of truth, love, and community. For information, visit vintagechurchmovement.com. Here is this week's message.
If you have a Bible, open it up to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15. If you need a copy of God's Word, lift up your hand and our Connect team would love to get you a copy of God's Word. Those words will also be on the screen. Here's what the book of Exodus says. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk into the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury, it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up, the floods stood up in a heap, the deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you? O Lord, among the gods, who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed, trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. Because of the greatness of your arm, they are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till your people pass by whom you've purchased, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. For when the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he is thrown into the sea." The word of the Lord. You can be seated. We've been in this series called Crossover, looking at the book of Exodus, and we've come to this point where they are singing a new song because they've crossed over from the one side of the Red Sea to the other, going toward the Promised Land. And this is unlike any other part of the book of Exodus because it is a song. So what we've been reading is we've been reading story and we've been reading narrative, and we get to this point in the story where there's a song, where the genre of the story completely changes. Now, I don't know about you. Anybody like music? I mean, it's like universal, right? We had a men's night this past Friday night, and at the beginning, Pastor Mark turned on a playlist, and he looked up. I'm not kidding you. He looked up like party playlists, and there was a playlist that said like white men barbecue. So he turned that on, right? And Mark and I were quizzing each other because he knew none of the songs that I grew up on. And then he later in the evening turned on his playlist, right? And I knew none of the songs that he grew up on. But regardless of our cultural differences, music played a massive part in our childhoods and in our life. I've got some album covers of some music that I loved growing up. Anybody remember Casey and JoJo? Don't laugh. Daniel, why are you laughing? What's so funny about this?
All my life, baby, baby, right? That song, man, I live for that song, right? U2, one of the greatest albums of all time, Joshua Tree, right? Where the streets have no name. This guy got me through high school, John Mayer, right? This was his album, Room for Squares. No Such Name was like his first hit. And then all of you know, my all-time favorite artist of all time, Johnny Cash, right? This was like the first album I ever owned. It was like all of his hits. And that sent me down a spiral to like listening to every single one of all of his albums, right? Music does something for us. It shapes us. It changes us. It inspires us. It helps unite us. It reminds us about things. Now, these are just albums and songs that play on the radio. But the power of music, I think, speaks even more significantly when we think about singing songs about God and who God is and what God has done for us. And that's what we're going to see, I think, in Exodus chapter 15, about the power of singing, the power of music. Would encourage you, if you're new, you want to catch up, you're looking for resources, everything can be found at this link regarding our crossover series. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, when we sing, praise the Lord. When we sing, that's a command, praise the Lord. Our responsibility in singing should be to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for who He is, this should sound very familiar, and what He has done. When we sing, we praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done. Go back and look at Exodus chapter 15, and you are going to see examples of who the Lord is. Things like this in verses 1 through 3. Moses says that the Lord is my strength, my song, my salvation. Verses 4 through 12, Moses says that the Lord is glorious in power. He's majestic. He's holy. He's awesome. Verses 13 through 18, He has steadfast love, He has strength. All of these things that Moses is writing in this song speak to this reality. The Lord is holy. Everybody say holy. He's holy. Now, holiness can have a lot of different ideas and a lot of different meanings. Here is the most basic understanding of holiness, that God is absolutely and uniquely unlike and separate from the rest of creation. There is nothing that compares to the Lord. And when Moses is writing this song, that's exactly what he's getting at. He's saying, listen, the Egyptian Pharaoh, the Egyptian armies, they are nothing like our Lord, which is why God can defeat them. And so we sing songs to remember who the Lord is, but we also sing songs to remember what He's done. Verses 1 through 3 of Exodus 15 talk about the Lord triumphing gloriously, throwing the Egyptians into the sea. Verses 4 through 12 talk about how the Lord shattered the enemy, overthrown their adversaries, that the Lord was doing wonders. Verses 13 through 18 talk about how the Lord has led the people of Israel in steadfast love, bringing them in and planting Israel, and the fact that the Lord reigns forever. All of this helps us see how the Lord has redeemed Israel from slavery to relationship. See, the point of God's redemption of Israel was not just to get the people out of slavery and say, okay, now you're on your own, figure it out, I'm backing out. The point all along was, let me redeem the people of Israel from slavery and be in relationship with them. God had made a promise to Father Abraham, right, that there would be a nation that came from him as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And what we're going to see in the coming chapters in the book of Exodus is how God renews that covenant with the people of Israel to make a relationship with them, to be their God, and for Israel to be their people. Moses tells them, this is who the Lord is. This is what the Lord has done. And listen, here's the thing. As Christians, followers of Jesus, we do the same thing. We praise the Lord for who He is and what He's done in Jesus.
I hope that one of the things that you're picking up as we read the book of Exodus is, yes, this first Exodus, this deliverance and redemption from slavery out of Egypt into the promised land is an incredible story, but the second Exodus is even better and even greater, of Jesus coming and redeeming humanity out of slavery to sin and into relationship with God our Father. That's what we're talking about. That is the good news of the gospel, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came and died and rose from the grave, defeating sin, death, and Satan, and that all of that was so that we could be rescued, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be healed. That's why we respond to the message of the gospel. The people of Israel had to respond. They had to either trust and believe that what God was doing was for their good or reject it. And so for you and I, the way that the scriptures speak of our response is repentance. Number one, turning away from the way we have been living. Faith, number two, looking to the cross of Jesus, the empty grave of Jesus, and trusting his death and resurrection to save us from our sin. But number three, confessing that faith in baptism, being buried with Jesus in the water, coming up out of the water, raised to walk in newness of life. This is the good news. See, Jesus, as the greater Exodus, is the sequel to this story. You know, most of the time, sequels are never any good, right? The original is always better. Every once in a while, you get a sequel that's better than the original, right? Godfather Part 2, potentially greater than Godfather Part 1, right? Jesus' story is greater than the first Exodus. Look at what Revelation chapter 5 says about this story. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice. What? They're singing a song, not just to the Father, not just to the Lord God our Father, but to the Son, saying what? Worthy is the who? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To receive, by the way, all of the things that the Lord in the Old Testament receives, power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard, this was John the Apostle, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that's in them saying what? Again, a song to him who sits on the throne, the Father, and to the whom? The Lamb, the Son. Be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever. See, Jesus deserves the praise given to the Lord in the Old Testament because he is, in fact, the Lord. So we sing to praise the Lord. Let me ask you this question. When you're singing, how do you know you're praising the Lord? You can go through the motions. You can sing the songs, and it appears on the outside that you're praising the Lord, that you're doing everything that everyone else is doing. But how do you know that when you open your mouth and you sing songs to the Lord, that is in fact praise to him? When we sing, we should praise the Lord. But number two, when we sing, remember the Lord. We remember when we sing who the Lord is and what he's done. The most interesting thing to me about this entire passage is that, historically speaking, it is probably the oldest part of the written account of Exodus. I mean, think about that. Normally, right, the events happen and then you write the story about what happened. But this part, this song, was literally written in the moment that they have crossed over the Red Sea, Moses opens his mouth and begins to sing. So this is the oldest part of the entirety of Exodus that we have, helping us do what? Remember who the Lord is and remember what he's done. Just a few moments ago, as I read that letter to you, talking about the power of Scripture and the power of worldview, the reason that singing is so powerful is because it shapes how we see our world.
It shapes how we understand God. It shapes how we understand ourselves. And it has implications in every single thing that we do, say, and believe. Which is why the scriptures make such a big deal about music. This week I learned something that was earth-shattering to me. Did you know that the ABCs are sung to the melody of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star? I'm 36 years old. I have many advanced degrees. And it required Pastor Mark telling me that the ABCs are sung to the melody of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star for me to learn this important fact, right? Wow. That's really important, by the way, to the point that I'm getting ready to make. You're probably thinking, what in the world are we talking about, right? Or you know the song, right, from Schoolhouse Rock, Conjunction Junction? Yeah, right, you even got the melody in you, right? There's a reason that songs are powerful, not just because they take us back to a memory, but they help us remember things. So when we remember the melody of Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars and we're learning the alphabet and we sing the alphabet to Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars, it helps us remember our letters. When we're trying to learn about how conjunctions work, most of us in this room probably don't even know that anymore, right? We sing a song to help us understand and remember how they work. That's the power of music, of rhyming, of rhythm, of melody. By singing this song in Exodus 15, they are able to remember who the Lord is and what He's done. And listen, even future generations who did not experience this redemption firsthand. I mean, think about that. It is written down in this book so that generations to follow who were not there would know who the Lord is and know what He's done. And again, for us as followers of Jesus, we remember who the Lord is and what He's done in Jesus. If you remember back in January and February, we went through a series called Changes. And one of the passages we looked at was Colossians 3:16. I want to remind you of what Paul writes there. It says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell." Everybody say dwell. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Doing what? When the word of Christ, which is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, when it dwells in you richly, this is what it does. "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." And how do we do that? Do you see what Paul says? How do we get the word of Christ in us richly? By singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. So Paul literally tells this church in Colossae, listen, one of the best ways that you can get the word of Christ, the gospel, the message that should shape everything about you in you is by singing it. Which, man, puts me out of a job, does it not? I've got to learn how to sing, I guess. But I think Paul is getting at the power of music. The power of singing songs that remind us that Jesus died on our behalf. The power of singing songs that remind us that He rose from the grave on our behalf. This week, as I thought about that, I thought about some of the songs that kind of take me back to the power of the gospel, remembering who the Lord is and what He's done in Jesus. Songs like "The Old Rugged Cross," "In Christ Alone," "Nothing But the Blood," "What a Beautiful Name." Right? Here's the question for you. What are you singing to help you remember the Lord? Right, I told you all of the, you probably caught it and some of you are judging me, right? All the songs at the beginning are terrible secular songs. Satanic and sinful, right? I'm joking. My spiritual gift is sarcasm. I hope you know that. I love all kinds of music. All kinds of music. But there is a danger in not filling your heart with songs about Jesus. And there is something that happens to me when I change my playlist and begin to sing and hear songs about the Lord and what the Lord has done for me. And I would challenge you this week to think about the songs that you are singing that help you remember who the Lord is and what He's done for you. Lastly, I want you to see how this entire song ends in Exodus 15. Because the ending challenges us to see this, that when we sing, we should strengthen our faith in the Lord. We strengthen our faith in who the Lord is and what He's done. Again, go back and look at verses 17 through 18. I want to read this again to you so you see what Moses is doing. He says, "You will." Is that past, present, or future tense? Does anybody know? It is a future tense verb. Anytime you put will in the front of a verb, it means it's future tense. It hasn't happened yet. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord, what? Will reign forever and ever. The incredible thing about this song is up to this point, everything has been past tense. Everything that Moses is encouraging and teaching the people of Israel to sing about is all that the Lord has done. But in verse 13, there's a sudden shift from past to future. The nations that he mentions, the Philistines, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Canaanites, none of that has been conquered yet. That's the future. Israel had still not gone into the promised land. That was future. The Lord had not settled in His tabernacle and in His temple on the Mount of Zion in Jerusalem. That was future. See, I think part of what Moses is trying to help the people of Israel do is he's helping them see, listen, what's about ready to come is not going to be easy. It's going to be incredible. You're going to see the Lord do so many incredible things moving forward, but it's going to be really hard. So let's not forget what He's done. Because what He's done is going to give us courage for the future. Our past praise strengthens future faith. Our past praise strengthens our future faith. It's kind of like muscle memory. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Our faith, I think, is like our muscles. Certain movements become easier because of muscle memory. This past week, I was in the gym, and Nick Brad, he's my coach, does an incredible job, and we were doing snatches, and I was doing something wrong. Every time I work out, I do something wrong. It's like I fix one thing, and then something else breaks. And so we're doing these workouts, right? And I'm doing a snatch, which is a weird movement. The bar goes over my head, and I'm supposed to get under all of the weight, but I was doing this thing where I was spreading my feet too far. And Nick was like, okay, now I just want you to catch it, and then you're going to do an overhead snatch squat. And the whole point of that exercise was not even about me doing the squat just like I was doing. It's about getting my body in a position to know that when I catch the snatch, I sit under it. It's about muscle memory. So for you and I, while the movements might be repetitive, the songs that we sing might be repetitive, the point is to create this kind of muscle memory of faith in us that when we sing songs about Jesus and we sing songs about the Lord and we remember who He is and what He's done, it creates this muscle memory in us for the future. That when a roadblock hits us, or something crazy happens and our faith is tested, we can remember who the Lord is and remember what He's done. That's what Moses is encouraging the people of Israel with. We strengthen our faith
in who the Lord is and what he's done, again, in Jesus. There's a reason that we need to preach and remind ourselves of the gospel daily. Not just going through the motions, but remembering that Jesus died for us, that Jesus rose for us. This is what the Apostle Paul does in Romans chapter 16. I want you to notice the word he uses, and I want you to notice the praise that he gives the Father at the end of this passage. Verse 25, now to him who is able to do what? Strengthen you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all the nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. How does Paul end this entire passage? This is praise. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. He begins the passage by saying, listen, I want you to be strengthened. He ends the passage with praise to our Father. It is a reminder to us of how these things are connected. How that when we praise God, our faith is strengthened. And when our faith is strengthened, it leads us to do what? Praise God. Just as the Israelites trusted the Lord to bring them into the promised land, we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord in our individual circumstances. We can trust the Lord in our corporate circumstances. We can trust the Lord in His return. That a day is coming. All of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, all of these political issues, all of these moral issues, all of these challenges, a day is going to come when Jesus returns and He makes all things right. And so the challenges that we find ourselves in, Jesus is going to make these things right. The reason I tell you that is because there are going to be days that you doubt that. I mean, there are days, if I'm just being honest, when I'm like, you know, Jesus, maybe today would be a really good day. Like, I'm not sure what your timeline is. My timeline's very different from yours. And in those moments, I have to remember who the Lord is and what He's done. And in remembering who the Lord is and what He's done, guess what? My faith is strengthened. That even though I see all of these circumstances, and even though I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing, I look back to who He is and what He's done, and my faith is strengthened in Him to believe and know that what He says He will do, He will in fact do. So the question for us is this question: is your faith weakening or is it strengthening? And as you answer that question, begin to identify, why is it strengthening? Why is it weakening? At the end of the scriptures in the book of Revelation, there's an interesting song that is sung. In Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 through 4, it says this, and I want you to pick up on the language that John uses. He says this, and I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. Listen, verse 3. And they sing the song of whom? Moses. Do we know what the song of Moses is? It's Exodus 15. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, but they add to the song of Moses. They don't just sing the song of Moses, they sing the song of whom? The Lamb. Saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The incredible thing to me about this passage is that in eternity, the song that we just read and studied, we will sing. But to that song, we will add a song to Jesus. We will celebrate the Exodus, God's redemption that we read about in the book of Exodus, but we will also celebrate what Jesus has done on our behalf. And I just want you to think today about this question. What song is on your heart? What will you sing to praise the Lord with? What will you sing to remember the Lord? What will you sing to strengthen your faith in the Lord? Exodus 15 teaches us about the power of song, because it helps us remember who the Lord is. It helps us remember what the Lord has done. And I pray that any song that you're singing, anything that you're putting in your heart, is doing just the same thing. That anything we sing, anything that we read, anything that we think about, anything that we do would help us to remember who the Lord is and to remember what He's done. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And we thank You, Father, for who You are and what You've done. Help us, Father, to praise You for those things. Help us to remember those things. And God, may who you are and what You have done strengthen our faith for the future. Help us, God, especially as we respond to You. We love You and we thank You. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.